This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Bottom line is to take this storm very seriously. Very cold temperatures, definitely a major amount of snow, could get to be a lot more. Wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour. This is serious stuff.
Yeah, so that was Bill de Blasio talking about New York. LaGuardia, practically no flights out. 3,000-plus flights canceled all over the place up and down the East Coast, and that number keeps climbing. They're referring to it as a bomb cyclone. It's just their fancy name for saying it's going to be an incredible amount of snow, and it's going to be nasty. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope your new year is off to an awesome start. I feel good for the first time in like a week and a half, 100%, knock on everything around me. And I know a lot of you have been under the weather because in some of your notes that you sent to me, you said that with people hacking around you, being on a plane, or just getting sick because the weather has flipped in a different direction. I feel you. Trust me, I understand because I went through it myself. It seemed like I was going to be all right, but we had a severe weather change and it wasn't the flu, thank goodness, but it led to that severe cold where you cannot talk. So a bomb cyclone, what does it actually mean? And then we're going to jump into all the nonsense coming out of Washington because America Tonight is about what is ticking in your backyard and I think what's moving the needle, right? So the bomb cyclone is about to hit the East Coast. It's really hitting the East Coast. And it dates back to the 40s. So there is actually this term about it that came about in the 40s. And its meteorologists began informally calling strong storms that came over oceans bombs because they had such ferocity that you never saw them, you know, if ever, over land. And in fact, I think a guy who's being credited with it is Fred Sanders, who's a former MIT professor, and he brought that into sort of common usage or the vernacular, calling it a bomb. And he was a forecaster in the 40s and did a lot of forecasting and whatnot, so that kind of stuck around, and that's what it means. I mean, like I said, it means it's going to be a bad storm and you're not going to really be going anywhere. And you don't want to be going anywhere because, it'll be impossible to get around. It's just the kind of thing you look out the window, you have a day, you have an in-house day. That's what you have. Trump's lawyers, the president's lawyers, are sending a cease and desist letter to Bannon. So what's happened is the former chief strategists are not talking to each other. They're talking through the lawyers. What part of has happened is this book that's coming out, and it's an explosive book, I guess, with all kinds of quotes from Steve Bannon about the president and his son and about the White House. And what they're saying in the lawyers are saying that because these excerpts were made public, they could see what was, you know, what they said. And during the 2016 presidential campaign, the president had all his staff members sign a non-disclosure agreement, which prevented them from speaking negatively about him as a candidate. So the letter says, you, Steve Bannon, have breached the agreement by, among other things, communicating with author Michael Wolff about Mr. Trump, his family members, and the company disclosing confidential information to Mr. Wolff and making disparaging statements and, in some cases, outright defamatory statements to Mr. Wolff and Mr. Trump and about his family members and the company, knowing that they would be included in his book and publicly surrounding the marketing and sale of the book. Which, here's the thing, yes, negativity and bombshell quotes sell books, especially ones about public figures or celebrities or any of that kind of stuff. So, what he said from the White House today, not Trump, but the press secretary, basically, and I guess some that was released, is that he's lost his mind, pretty much. And in a statement, the statement was released, but in a statement, he insisted, the president insisted, his former chief strategist lost his mind after he was ousted from the White House job, that Steve Bannon has nothing to do with me or my presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. There was, and I got this official White House statement. It was a four-paragraph statement from the White House, from the president, after the publication of the excerpts from the new book, where Bannon characterized a June meeting between top Trump campaign officials and a Russian lawyer as treasonous. So then the cease and desist letter came out late on Wednesday saying this was a breach of confidentiality. And then, you know, kind of it was more discrediting him in other ways, Bannon, saying that he spent his time at the White House leaking false information to the media to make himself seem far more important than he was. So now Michael Wolff, with everything that's happened, is going to have more looks on his book than you can imagine. This book is called Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House, and it's, again, by the author Michael Wolff. Donald Trump Jr. released a statement saying Andrew Breitbart would be ashamed of the division and lies Steve Bannon is spreading. So, nothing really from Bannon, just the back and forth between the lawyers. According to New York Magazine, which also published a little bit of the book, they say that Wolff was allowed significant access to the West Wing, something like a semi-permanent seat on a couch. He's a journalist, he's a columnist, he's contributed to USA Today and other publications, so he had access. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said the book was filled with false and misleading accounts from people who didn't have access or influence. And she said participating in a book that can only be described as trashy tabloid fiction exposes their sad, desperate attempts at relevancy. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what, if this book gets any kind of, it's getting buzz, but does it have any kind of sales? Is there a real curiosity over it? You know, who knows? But the bigger deal is the back and forth between Bannon and the president, I suppose, would be the big to do. And now with the whole lawyering up thing, that makes it just a little bit, adds a little bit more, I don't know, salt into the wounds. The New York Post said E2 Bannon. That was the front of the New York Post. So Trump definitely goes after Bannon, a lawsuit threat over the breach. And where it ends up is court. The lawyers are getting rich off of all of this. They're licking their chops. That's what happens. Oh, my. Odds and ends coming up next here on America Tonight.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
As 2018 has happened. Have you written 2017 down like 2, 3, 4 times? More than 4? Oh, you got a problem. You got to somehow write 2018 on everything. I think today I wrote 2014 once. That's the cough drops. That's all that cough medication wearing off. That's what I'm blaming it on. But I guarantee there's people that are doing that all over the place. All right, a couple more comments on the whole thing about Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon is, according to Congressman Pete King, Republican from New York, who's represented New York forever, says Bannon is a con man who should find a job in the circus. Oh, there's that movie out about Barnum and Bailey. Hugh Jackman. I heard it's pretty good, actually. Anyway, so I think it's more about the cease and desist letter now in the court, but there's going to be more mud that's going to be flung in a lot of different directions, probably because this book hasn't bounced out yet either. So until Michael Wolff's book comes out, then, you know, then we'll see where that, we'll see what else ends up getting heaped on the fire. How about that? In the meantime, North Korea what is going on with North Korea? The taunts to Kim, North Korea spoke with Seoul over the hotline. What was that about? So what the story is North Korea reached out to counterparts in Seoul over a hotline for the first time in 2 years. They're trying to kind of thaw things, I guess, you know, between what's been flung out there and what's happening. So officials from both countries spoke several times. They're doing technical checks before agreeing to stop for the day. The president of South Korea has proposed holding talks January 9th at the border village in between the two places, which would be the first formal gathering between the two of them since the two sides since 2015. The move is showing kind of progress after Kim called for improved relations with South Korea in a New Year's Day address. There's been a lot of tension over North Korea's nuclear program that's hanging over the games in Pyeongchang. It's the city about 50 miles from the border dividing the Korean peninsula. So there may be this detente that is happening. We'll see if they have that meeting and what the dialogue's like and how they feel about it. And South Korea with the Olympics is a big deal, and they're trying to open the gateway to making a better relationship between the two countries. Well, hey, anything that I think cools off Kim Jong-un is good, because he still is on that madman list no matter what, and he does have access to missiles that he occasionally launches and freaks everybody out, especially when they fly over Japan and they sound the alarms. And then there's all the questions about the measurement and could it reach the United States and all of that that comes in between. Budget talks, where is that? White House, the lawmakers, they say we are hopeful after positive budget talks. So top congressional leaders from both major parties put their assessments together after they met at the Capitol. They say that there is progress on a stack of unfinished business, starting with this bipartisan budget deal. The session was in the office of Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. It came about 2 weeks before the threatened government shutdown. Topping the agenda is sparing the Pentagon and domestic cabinet agencies from spending cuts. So that's what they're wrestling on a little bit there. The budget has been it's been stuck by demand from the Democrats that non-defense programs with increases equal to those to be awarded to the Pentagon. They're saying that this has been something that's happened in the past, but the Republicans aren't moving on it. So, you know, that's tricky. It's a wild matrix, and they're trying to glue it together, and you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, you know that old expression. Where are we shifting the do-re-mi, and somebody's going to be upset, and where do we need the funds to go? And, you know, is it going to be bipartisan or not? Is better if it's bipartisan, or as much as bipartisan as possible, rather than cantankerous. But there was a positive budget talk, apparently, so they feel good about the direction it's going in, which if they're walking out and they're saying that, and you got serious left-of-left Dems and some right-of-right Republicans, then that is a good sign. But until it's inked, it's not inked. My father always taught me, a deal is not a deal, my dear, until both sides sign off of it. And at least you think it's equitable, whether it is or not. I mean, you know, supposedly that's what you want, and that's why you have a deal, so that happens. I think this is brilliant, and this may have gotten lost on the radar of a lot of people because of the Bannon thing, the book coming out, the conversations on Twitter, the White House, the snowy conditions in the Northeast and in parts of the South. But Washington's Attorney General sued Motel 6 on Wednesday, alleging that they disclosed the private information of thousands of guests to U.S. immigration authorities in violation of the state's consumer protection law. So check this out. Attorney General Bob Ferguson said motel employees released the names, birthdays, driver's license numbers, all that kind of stuff for at least 9,100 guests to ICE agents without a warrant. Six people were detained near the property. And Motel 6 was aware that the agents used the guest registry information to single out guests based on their origin in violation of Washington State's anti-discrimination law. And that's an easy lawsuit to file, and of course it was filed. And Motel 6 has locations in all over the state. And the idea is, at least their corporate mantra would be, that they don't provide, they did provide the information without guest knowledge or consent, but that you don't, because Washington's Supreme Court has it pretty clear that guest registry information is private, and you're violating laws every single time you do it. This is the fear of so many people, just in general, of what's being released. And they get, if they have this list of names and they go through them, you know, who, without the knowledge of, do they go through it without the knowledge of the senior management? I guess that may be the case. I'm not sure, but I can't imagine I can imagine the frustration over this. Was it violated in 15 locations, 6 locations? What were the violations, and how much information was released, and what did ICE do with the information? Of course, they would have gone after the people that they had on a list. I can only imagine. I can only imagine that's what they do, because why would they, you know, otherwise they don't want it. It doesn't make any sense. Does not make any sense. All right, how about this? This was another thing that came out of Washington just quickly, that Kellyanne Conway said on Wednesday, it's important that the world see the United States standing behind protesters in Iran, but it's not really the point at the moment who will take power if the current regime is removed from power. That's not the point. She said that on CNN. What's behind the curtain in that country? That is pretty scary if you think about it, because we've seen what's happened over the handful of years. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side here on ATN.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
Well, I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
About squirrels. I'm going to introduce you to my pal Larry Friend, and we've talked to him about Icy the Iceberg. He also has another book called Squirrely the Squirrel and Starlet. It's a children's book, and the boy, the story is so clever. So Larry, once again, thanks so much for joining us. And as always, what drew you to writing about squirrels and making it into a children's book?
Well, what had happened was we had moved from Chicago to Libertyville, and we have 5.5 acres. And our house in the front of the book, my sister did draw our house. It was an old log cabin that was built in 1924, and a lot of people had bought it and added on to it. And I think that one of the people that lived there before me, there was an architect back in the 40s probably. I think he was maybe a student of Frank Lloyd Wright, because the house has a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright features. Well, what he did was he cut out a lot of the logs and he put windows in so you can see right through the house. And then in our bedroom, you go up a spiral staircase. That used to be his office. And that's all with the cantilevered windows and everything. And that's all glass. But then the people that bought it after that, they made that their bedroom. So behind the bed, there's one wall. I love the house because everywhere you're in the house, you get to see the outside. And especially in the morning when you wake up, it's all glass. And we can't put curtains there because of the angle of the Frank Lloyd Wright. But so I used to see all these stories. And my wife, when she got there, she loved birds. So we put feeders up. I started watching the way the squirrels interacted with the feeders and how they would fight with different people and then how they get to the feeders and try the challenge of trying to conquer these feeders. And all the stories in the book are pretty much true. I did see one where during the fall, the squirrels will go out on the end of the maple leaves, and they'll try to get the flying wing sort of things, and they get out to eat them, and they have to go way out to the end of it. Well, one time I'm in bed, and I watch the squirrel fall off and smash to the ground, and I said, wow, that's pretty interesting. So I put that in the book. And then we also had some bird feeders that have a ring at the bottom, and there's a battery in them. And if the birds, it doesn't do anything. But the squirrel, he puts his weight on it, it spins around. And my wife was in her office, and she saw one of the squirrels come down and grab a hold of that. And he's spinning around. He's perpendicular, and he's going around and around. And finally, he falls off, and he hits this, like, we have sort of a rock wall there. Hit it and sort of got knocked out and sat there for a while. So all these stories, and watching that, I decided I'm going to write this book about squirrels. So I wrote it, Squirrely the Squirrel. But then I started thinking about my relationship with my wife, who's, we've been married 52 years, but she sort of was like starlet to me. And so I said, you know, I'm going to make it not only a squirrel story, but sort of a love story. And so he met a starlet, and my wife had these real big eyes when I met her. And so I made Starlet, she had her big eyes, and he was fascinated by her eyes and her eyelashes. And so that's how he interacted with her. And it just got to be a cute story, but it's also a love story, and there's a lot of meaning in it.
Yeah, and the idea in writing the story and pulling it together, as in your other book, I'm sure there are life lessons. What are you hoping the life lessons are that kids will get out of this?
Well, Squirrely has quite a few life lessons. One is, Squirrely was a hard worker. That's the way I am. I like to work hard. And he was a hard worker, and his brother was lazy. So he was named Sluggo. And he just did not listen to his father, didn't listen to the warnings about hawks or anything. And he would let Squirrely do all the work under the corn feeder, and he'd just lay there and eat the corn. Well, one day he was taken away by a hawk. So that was sort of a lesson of, you've got to listen to your parents, because they know what to teach you as you get older. But then also later in life, Squirrely would miss Sluggo. He says, you know what, if he hadn't been taken away, could we have changed him? Could we have made him better? And that was one lesson there. The other lesson I had was, when I saw Squirrely fall out of the maple tree and hit the ground, I put in there that everybody was laughing at him because he fell out of the tree. But he was a very determined squirrel, and he didn't want to, he wanted to conquer that particular task. So he kept going up in the tree, and he fell a couple times, and then finally he got it. But in there, I put in there that the hurt of the ridicule to him was worse than the hurt from falling into the ground. So that's sort of a little bit of thing on bullying, but and also don't make fun of people. So that's and then it's also, don't give up on your dreams. You always work towards something, and you're going to be good. So that's why Squirrely was a hard worker. He ended up falling with a starlet, and then he built a house for her, and then they had a family, and that was just the way I liked the life lesson there of trying to be successful in whatever you do.
Wow, that's powerful. And especially, you know, you talk about, you know, dreaming and pursuing and having that goal. And certainly, you know this, Larry, having grandchildren, it's much different times for kids and what they go through, because we live in a technology era. And I like the idea, of course, of reading. And I think, well, you did mention this about the hard book and, you know, having a copy that way and why that matters. Do you think that's good for kids to read that way? Because now so much is done electronically.
Well, it's either way. That's one thing about Litfire, which is good, because they did. See, when I talked to Kate, my ultimate goal was to try to get with Scholastics and possibly get like a cartoon cinema for Squirrely, because he's so cute and his life is so interesting. But so she said, well, in order to get to Scholastic, you have to have reviews. So I went to Blue Ink and I got to Kirkus. And then she says, now they've changed their format. So you have to have an ebook. You've got to have an audio book. So they've done all that. And Kirkus gave me a very good review on both books, but they really liked, Squirrely a lot. The only thing, and they had one criticism, which I sort of like what I did. What I did was, I had a lot of children read this book and circle words that they didn't understand. I have a feeling that sometimes our school is dumbing people down, and they don't give them these larger words. So what I did is, okay, if you don't know that word, circle it. Well, what I did was I italicized those words, and I made them to understand so children can understand the meaning of the word, and I put a glossary in the back of the book. Well, when Kirkus, I don't know if they didn't realize that I was doing that because they said it was sort of a little bit annoying to see the italicized words, but the publisher and everybody else likes that idea. And they said maybe they might want me to do it in Snowy also, because I talked to my granddaughter, and she says, no, Papa, she says, I really like those bigger words, but if you don't know them, they can either find out. But so that's, I do have an italicized words in Squirrely, and then I have a glossary, which I think is good. I think sometimes the publisher will something right back and say, that word's pretty big. Well, I think when I was a child, the bigger words, you just had to learn what they meant, because that's English. But that's my feeling on that.
Yeah, I like that. It's interesting to delve into this for the people that are listening to us. I would say, and you peeled back the onion a little bit to tell us a little bit about the publishing world. Has that been, that's got to be an interesting experience. Would you tell somebody who had a book inside them not to be afraid and take the leap?
No. And a lot of these publishers, like, Litfire, is very, very helpful, and you can have, like the one woman I'm dealing with, Kate, she says some people just send her a pile of papers and she's got to go through them and try to make a book out of it. I don't like to do that, but they are willing, all these self-publishing companies have the ability to, they have editors, they have illustrators. Squirrely was not colorized. The pictures were not colorized originally, and they said in order to make it really popular, they should be colorized. So they did colorize all the illustrations in Squirrely, and it's just, it makes the book completely different. I like the picture of the family because they have Awkwafina and Nutella and Cornelia and then Sluggo, and they did those in color, and it's really adorable. It really is really adorable. So.
Yeah, you know, and we talked about life lessons, and the same kind of thing is, you know how squirrels sometimes get a bad rap. People try to get rid of squirrels, people shoot at squirrels, people come up with feeders that stop the squirrels. So do you think you might soften the image of the poor squirrel?
I think so. Especially now that he's sort of a person now, you know, he's lovable and he's cute because, like when I used to watch out of the windows when we had a lot of snow to see them because they bury all their nuts. And that's, I don't know if you saw in the book, but I came up with this NPS, which is the nut positioning system that Squirrely came up with. And my sister did it really cute. It has like the tree and then the feeder and there's arrows. And in his mind, he's thinking about where all these nuts are. Well, when there's snow, they don't know where the nuts are, so you'll see them dive into the snow, and then they'll come up out of the snow, and their head's all full of snow, and their eyelashes, and so that's why that story came up, and then that was another thing. One of the bigger words in the book was called Epiphany, and so Squirrely, he was out after all this huge snow came in, he couldn't locate the nuts, and he was all upset. He says, oh, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Then he said he had an epiphany, and he realized that he was starting the wrong way on the yard. After he did that, his nut positioning system was perfect, and he found all these nuts. And then he saw Starlet, who was really, really cold and hungry, and that's how he taught her how to find the nuts. I don't know whether that's double entendre, but he taught his nut positioning system. I don't know. But that was really cute, you know, and that was a true story too. But the only thing with the book is that my sister Brian, who was very creative, who now in fact he works for Leo Burnett now, he's in charge of the Nintendo account. But he said, let's make some of this cartoonish. So like the house that he built for her, the nest, is really a house. It looks like a castle. It's not exactly true, but it's sort of cute because Squirrely sits up out on the deck and he's looking at the sun and looking at the clouds. And so that's not exact, but it's really cute.
I love it. Once again, you can pick up Larry's book, Larry Friend. You can pick it up on Amazon, certainly Barnes & Noble. Larry, continued success, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
ID Stronghold wallets are different. They may look the same on the outside. They're stylish. They'll hold your cards and cash. But they're hiding something great on the inside. No, there are no pyrotechnics. And it doesn't sing when you open it. But it does have magical powers. ID Stronghold wallets protect your critical information and identity from thieves standing right next to you. Protect your family this holiday season with affordable leather ID Stronghold wallets and purses. Anyone can buy a cheap RFID scanner online and snag your information just by walking past you. Contactless credit cards, debit cards, even your work ID badge. ID Stronghold was the first to pioneer RFID blocking technology over 12 years ago. Secure your identity and save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time at IDStronghold.com. That's coupon code PRESENT, also available at Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, or QVC. IDStronghold.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Starting. 383. 15.
Well, I've been talking about it, the start of this series. So many interesting pieces of history happening between the tribe and the Cubs. And the fact that, you know, everybody has burned in their brains 1908, the last time the Cubs won a World Series, over 100 years. But there's history on the side of the Cleveland Indians, too. And this is, I think, a fall classic that a lot of people are going to be talking about. So excited to have Professor Luke Salisbury on with us. He's in our virtual green room. He's a baseball expert and author of a lot of sports books, including The Answer is Baseball, The Cleveland Indian, Blue Eden, and Hollywood and Sunset. I love that title. And also several others as well, and he's contributed to a lot of books. His resume is so long that if I just went down that path, we would never get to talk to Luke. I do want to mention this, though. He was also featured in AMC's Diamonds on the Silver Screen and HBO's Curse of the Bambino, and wrote the Crank column for Boston Baseball. Luke, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm so excited about tonight. So excited.
Boy, so am I. So, I mean, here's the deal. When we look at this, and this is a question I keep getting asked, who's going to win this series, and why do you think they're going to win it? Is it going to be the Chicago Cubs, or let's not forget about the Cleveland Indians?
Well, the Cubs have so much talent. Theo Epstein, who, of course, put together the team that broke the curse in Boston, looks like he's doing the same thing in Chicago, and you just can't give him enough credit. But, you know, I'm an American League fan. If it isn't the Yankees, I root for the American League team. And having gotten so interested was, I must say I'm rooting for the Indians, and they are on a roll. And it's funny because when you call a team of destiny, it usually means they don't have the talent, perhaps, to do what they're doing. And the Indians have steamrolled everybody, especially the Red Sox. So I'm picking the Indians, but that's David versus Goliath.
It is David versus Goliath, and people forget, and you know you've been watching, that the Indians have speed. I mean, they led the league in stolen bases, and, you know, there's some Cub pitchers that have problems keeping guys on bases. I think that this series, by the way, could even go the distance, could be 7 or 6. What do you think?
Well, if it does, I hope they bring out Charlie Sheen. Throw out the pitch in the seventh game. And maybe the Cleveland Indians should bring Steve Bartman, who, of course, was involved in that awful thing with the ball, to lead a goat out onto the field for the seventh game. But and of course, the pitcher, you make a very good point about Cub pitchers holding men on base. It's John Lester, the former Red Sox, who discovered when he got to the National League, where they run the bases all the time, that he doesn't like throwing to first base. I think it would be very smart of the Indians to bunt and run on John Lester.
Yeah, I certainly do, too. Do you think more people are interested in baseball again? Have we bounced back to a love of baseball? It seems like the numbers are up and the interest is up.
Well, it's very interesting because baseball managed to extend itself from a 2.5-hour game to almost a 4-hour game. It really has totally changed to something where it produces statistics for fantasy players, commentary on ESPN, and highlights. And I understand that the Tony La Russa style of getting the most out of every at-bat, you know, have it go 10 or 12 pitches, wear out the pitcher. From the seventh inning on, you're using almost a pitcher for every out. And this may well be the best way to win, but it takes so long. It's boring. And the only thing I'm not looking forward to tonight is how late the game may run. It has become a game of bullpens, at least as much as starting pitchers. And look at what Andrew Miller has done for the Cleveland Indians. Who would have thought a middle inning relief pitcher might be the most important pitcher on their staff?
Boy, isn't that the truth. When you look at the connection, you mentioned the Yankees and you look at the Boston Red Sox, how connected are those two teams actually when you look at the players on the field to the two teams that we're actually watching in this World Series?
Well, you'd think that Theo Epstein, the general manager who broke the Red Sox curse, is the Cubs general manager. Terry Francona, the manager, and believe me, it's hard to manage in Boston because everybody is after you if you don't win every game. And how he survived 8 years here is a testimony. I mean, he could be in the United Nations. He's also an excellent manager on the field. The two managers, Joe Maddon, who's sort of universally considered the best manager in baseball, and I would have to agree, against Terry Francona, who might be the second best manager. So that's interesting. Then there's a whole number of ex-players. The Cubs took Anthony Rizzo, who had been in the Red Sox system. He had over 30 home runs for them. John Lester and John Lackey, who pitched the Red Sox to World Series, are on the Cubs. You know, David Ross, John Lester's personal catcher, came from the Red Sox. On the other side, Coco Crisp, the switch-hitting outfielder, who, by the way, knows how to box in case there's trouble on the field. He was an ex-Red Sox. So it's just really, really interesting. It's almost Theo versus Theo.
I love that, Theo versus Theo. And what's great about Theo is that he's so young, right?
Well, when he became the Red Sox general manager, he was 28. And you would know this if you lived in Boston, but your listeners may not know that Theo Epstein's father, Leslie Epstein, is a very good novelist, ran the BU Creative Writing Program, which I happen to have attended, and his grandfather wrote Casablanca. The Epstein twins Warner Brothers script writers, and so his great-uncle and grandfather wrote Casablanca and many other Hollywood movies, so you're talking about an extremely talented family. And when I was in the BU writing program, I was working on the novel, The Cleveland Indian, a fictionalized version of that first Indian. And who knew that Leslie's 10-year-old son was going to be the general manager of the Red Sox and the Cubs? And I must tell you one Theo story. When he was 10 very intelligent and sharp family. And so I am somewhat divided knowing the Epsteins. Yes, I'd be happy if the Cubs won, but I am basically an American League fan. And having written about Louis Sakalexis, the original Indian and the original Cleveland Indian, I've got to pull for the underdog in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been pulling for the underdog. The fact that the Cubs, it's just so funny, the fact that the Cubs finally got here, wasn't it interesting that Cubs fans, are they always just expecting the other shoe to drop?
Well, it's interesting. Whether players feel pressure from a curse, they certainly feel pressure to win. Fans certainly do. Like, I believe there were two things constant in the universe, the speed of light and the fact the Red Sox would never win a World Series during my lifetime. Now they tell us some subatomic particle might go faster than the speed of light, and the Red Sox have won three times. And I don't want to do a spoiler alert for Cub fans, but it's interesting. When your team hasn't won, it's the Holy Grail. And I used to feel like I almost had to watch every game and root. I was willing to sell my soul for them to win the World Series, which maybe I did. And then they win, and they win a couple more, and it's wonderful, and you feel great for a couple of years. But now they're just sort of another team. You know, there's something absolutely magic about something you can't have.
Boy, and, that's a truth, isn't it?
You know, but on the other hand, you know, when the Red Sox won, and this will happen in either of the two cities, you had people going to cemeteries taking Red Sox hats and letters that said, Grandpa or Dad, they finally did it. And there was a wonderful sense of good feeling. And so some good will come out of it, but then afterwards you look at it, it's like, oh, you know, we don't have the curse of the Bambino. We're not the goat curse. You know, we're not the Chicago Cub. This happened to the Phillies in 1980. They had never won a World Series, and they won. And then a few years later, it's like, well, they're just another team. But that
you're just another team.
Yeah, that doesn't take anything away from how exciting it's going to be and how much the fans do care about it. And let's hope that Steve Bartman has let off the hook, that poor Notre Dame graduate who grabbed a ball, as any of us might have, in a playoff game, what, in 03, and was just pilloried. Now, here, we pilloried Bill Buckner, but Bill Buckner was on the field when the ball went through his legs. That's a little different than a fan allegedly interfering with something. But I must say, it's scapegoats are always needed in the big, in the biggest stage. If you make a mistake, Super Bowl or World Series, it's in your obituary. It is never forgotten.
Boy, that's so, the truth. That is the truth. And never forgotten. I love it. This was great info. There's no question about it. The answer is baseball. The Cleveland Indian, Blue Eden in Hollywood and Sunset. Luke Salisbury, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.